Let us pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we sing unto thee with cheerful voices, because the Lord our God is good to us. Without his aid, we could not live. We come before you in humble submission, Father. We serve you very gladly. Bless and magnify your name. We are your flock. Pray that you will feed us and bless us with thy presence. We are thankful for Jesus. We rejoice in his triumph. He is merciful toward us in his judgments and his justice. Through his love, he authored our salvation, and through his love, he gave his life. And great is our reward through righteousness. So with voices united in praise, prayer, and song, we worship you gladly, Father. Please receive and accept this, our worship, in Jesus' name. Pray, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to God for allowing us to be in his midst this morning, that we can render unto him worship in spirit and in truth. The Bible says, John chapter 4, verse number 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I also believe that the first day of the week, the General Assembly has at least a threefold purpose. Number one, instruction in righteousness. Number two, spiritual healing made available through the acceptance of the Word of God. And number three, fellowship with those of like precious faith. I'm just so grateful to be a part of this worship experience, because God is an awesome God. I said, God is an awesome God. And I'm just glad to be alive, inhaling and exhaling, because the Bible says that in him we live, move, and have our being. So I'm just grateful to be here, to come and to express myself before the Creator, the Sustainer of all that lives. Our lesson comes this morning from the Gospel according to John, and the chapter is 11. And this chapter is a very familiar chapter. It's talks about the death of Lazarus. And we want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. But if you notice at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we find that John does not begin with the birth of Jesus. John begins with Jesus before time began. In chapter 1 and the verses 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then we drop down to verse 14 of chapter 1. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, John wants us to know that Jesus existed before time began. In fact, it was the Word that created the woman that gave him birth. Because the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's John's gospel. And it's a powerful gospel because it's a gospel of miracles. In John chapter 20, beginning with verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now, the design of the gospel of John is to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this miracle that we're going to talk about this morning is bringing us to a culmination of the ministry of Jesus. The first miracle we read about was with Jesus at the wedding. And now this miracle occurs at a funeral. He's miraculous in times of joy, and he's miraculous in times of immense sorrow. That's what we're going to see here. And it's great to know that Jesus is there in sorrow as well as in joy. He's with me in times of celebration, and he's with me in my lowest points. David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Jesus here is indicating to us that he is the Son of God. And in every miracle that Jesus did, I believe there is a message. Hence, the title of our message this morning is "The Message Behind the Miracle of the Raising of Lazarus." We may not experience this miracle today, but we can experience the message behind the miracle. Also, we see here there was a very special relationship between Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's important. There's a very special relationship that existed between those three. And let me just add, the name Lazarus means "God is my help." And by the time we get through this, you'll see that God showed up with some help. Jesus again had a special relationship with these three. Why? Because they believed in him. They believed in who he said he was. You want a special relationship with God? You must believe the same. Lazarus was sick, and they sent for Jesus, who was about 25 miles away. And this is not somebody he did not know intimately. Lazarus was someone he loved. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and he loved Martha. Lazarus was sick. He was nearing death. And Jesus, hearing he was sick, stayed where he was for the next 2 days. His friend was sick, near dying. He heard about it, and he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Have you ever felt like Jesus was not there when you wanted him? Somebody in here has. That when we wanted Jesus, he was not there. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus doesn't move on our time schedule. He does not move on our time schedule. I said Jesus does not move on our time schedule. Many times we want God to move when we want him to move. Sometimes in the midst of our troubles, Jesus simply stands still. Sometimes the Lord, when you've prayed about a thing, and when you felt the situation was urgent, sometimes Jesus will stay still. Sometimes he doesn't move when you think he should move, but I'm here to tell you, even though Jesus loves you, he doesn't move on your schedule. Some of us, I say some of us, seem to think that God is on our own personal time schedule. God sometimes has to let you experience some things, even though he loves you. And this text teaches us a valuable truth, that the love of God does not prevent me from going through difficult times. The love of God does not prevent me from entering into times of difficulty. Listen, Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha, but he allowed him to be sick. And I'm reminded that trouble is the greatest mechanism to humble us before God. You see, without trouble, sometimes you will become so arrogant and so self-sufficient, and you begin to think that everything is about you. But God has a way of giving you a thorn in the flesh. You see, he says, I'm going to give you some thorns. I'm going to give you some problems. I'm going to give you some tests, some trials, and some consequences so that you won't get beside yourself. Although God favors us as his people, his special possession, and although God loves us, the Bible says, whom God loves, he chastises. So we're going to go through difficulties. We have to have trials. We have to have periods of tribulation. And it doesn't mean that God does not love us. Jesus again loved Lazarus, but he stayed where he was. Not only did Jesus stay where he was, he went in a different direction. He went to Judea first to do some other business. And then the situation goes from good to bad and from bad to worse. Every now and then God will allow a situation to go from bad to worse, and he still won't show up. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. It's one thing when my car is repossessed, but it's another thing when I get evicted from my home. It's one thing to have your child arrested, and it's another thing to have your child shot, from bad to worse. Why, Lord, do you let it go from bad to worse? I don't need to ask this question, but have you ever gone through something? Have you ever gone through something and that something got worse before it got better? And if you're anything like me, you start asking yourself, what did I do? What did I do? Did I do something? Did I sin? You ask yourself, what is that thing that I did? Listen, we all mess up. I mess up. We all mess up. Even though I preach from time to time, I struggle sometimes with my faith. I just want to be real. with you. Sometimes I start thinking, what is my sin? What sin was it? I start trying to figure out which sin it was. And you start to rationalize about what you did wrong. And you begin to think, maybe I've been so bad that God is allowing me to suffer for it. But let me explain something to you. You're going to go through difficulties anyway. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you're exempt from trouble. And sometimes trouble's not always the result of you doing something. But sometimes it is. And sometimes I get some consequences that come with it. Sometimes in order to get me stronger, God's got to let me endure struggles, periods of tribulations and trials. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy. When you fall into various temptations and anything else, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. So Jesus lets it go from bad to worse, and he goes to Judea, and guess what? Lazarus dies. He's dead. And then in John 11 and verse 14, Jesus said unto them very clearly that Lazarus is dead. And he says, I'm glad. The man that he loved, he says he's dead, and he's glad. But he says, I'm glad for your sakes. He's glad that he was not there. Jesus is going to use this trial to bring all involved and all of those who are looking on to a point of faith. He's going to use this. God has the ability to take a trial and turn it into a triumph. God can take a trial and use it as an experience for several other people. God can use your trial to be the thing that affects the folk who see you while going through that trial. God many times will, and he can, use the trouble I go through as a platform to demonstrate, to prove his purpose and his great power. In other words, God will use my troubles, and God will use my situations and everybody around me that watches me going through this trouble, going through this situation. God is going to do something powerful in my tragedy that everybody around me is going to come to a point where they understand. God gets the glory. God will use your trial. He will use your situation for his glory. Now, the disciples were not in the situation. The disciples are going to be spectators of everything that will happen. Jesus is going to use Mary and Martha's trial for their benefit. The disciples, for their benefit. Did you know or do you know there are some folk that see what you're going through that have nothing to do with your situation but end up believing in God
because of how God brought you through your situation. The Bible tells us that God works in mysterious ways. God is trying to show a group of folk that He is the God of your life. And if God is that powerful to bring you through, it'll prick the hearts of others who say, "Who is the God you serve?" And God ends up getting the glory. Look at who's God, who it is that God is blessing in John 11. Look at whose God is blessing. He's going to bless the disciples because they're going to come to a point of faith. He's going to bless Mary and Martha because they're going to get their brother back. He's going to bless Lazarus because Lazarus is going to be made alive again. And He's going to bless everyone that hears and believe their testimony. Excuse me. One circumstance is going to bless all these people. Are you seeing the power of God here? Are you seeing the wisdom of God? Right here. So be careful how you act in situations because other folk are watching. But you've got to be able to trust God and believe that Jesus is who He says He is and have a special relationship with Him. God can only be glorified by your ability to hold on to Him by faith. Drop down to verse 17. John chapter 11. Then Jesus came. Then when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. And in 4 days, I'm sure his body began to decompose. The Bible calls it seeing corruption. In 4 days, I'm sure his body had began to decompose. What's the indication there? That Lazarus was really dead. It was undeniable. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Drop down to verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord," she said, "if thou had been here, my brother had not died." In other words, "Lord, you're too late. You're too late." In other words, she's trying to tell God how He should have done this thing. That's how we think sometimes. Had God done it the way I wanted it done, this never would have happened. But look at here. Martha is really struggling with her faith. She's struggling. Has her faith faded? Look at verse 22. Martha is still talking here. "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God," John 11, 22, "God will give it thee." In verse 23, Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And in verse 24, Martha says, "I know that, Lord, that in the last day he's going to rise again. But if you had showed up when I called you, this would not be the case." But Jesus tells her, "You're missing the point." He says, "I am the resurrection. Don't you understand? I have the power to give life. Not only in the last day, but even now. You just have to believe that I am who I say I am. In other words, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? The one thing about life is that God will test your faith. It's easy to trust God when the roses are blooming and nothing adverse is happening in your life. But when your Lazarus dies, when you've got your tragedy, at some point, God will test your trust. Lord, had you been here, this would never have happened. The sisters are saying to the Lord. Drop down to verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. It appears here in this verse that Martha met him on the way to Bethany where her brother was laying dead. Jesus had not gotten there yet. It seems he's casually on his way. You see, Jesus is not on Martha's time schedule. And what they don't know is the reason for the tragedy. What's the reason? What we need to understand is that God has a reason. He has a purpose behind the tragedies we experience. And He is still working His plan out in our life. While everybody else is in panic, not Jesus. Jesus is not panicking. Why? Because He knows. He knows that all power, Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and on earth is in His hand. The angels in heaven obey Him. His disciples on earth obey Him and have a very special relationship with Him. Jesus can feed 5,000 people with 2 fishes and 3 loaves. He can turn water into wine. He has the power of healing. He can calm a storm at sea. He walks on water. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Look again at verse number 32, John chapter 11. Now Mary says the same thing to Jesus in verse 32. The same thing that Martha said to Jesus in verse 21. Both of them telling Jesus that He's too late. But at least she did it respectfully. Sometimes we respectfully tell God He's late. Sometimes we respectfully tell God that He really didn't do the right thing. She came to Jesus and she fell down and said, "Lord, had you been here, this would not have happened." And I'm glad she was respectful. See, because sometimes, even though we have faith in God, in the back of our minds, sometimes, in the deep caverns of our minds, we just feel like it could have worked out differently. If you just would have come when I asked you to come. I know it's hard to say amen to that, but it's the truth. You've had moments when you thought that if God had come a little earlier, it would have worked out for you. You know, some people live a life of regret. Have you ever tried to rewind the hands of time? And you say to yourself, if I had done this or if I had done that, if I had done it this way instead of doing it that way. Let me tell you this. With all my mistakes and all of my failings and everything that I've done, God is still blessing me through it all. And you've got to learn that you can't change your past. I usually use this lesson at the halfway houses, the work release programs, and the jails, so forth and so on. You can't change your past. You've got to live for your present and for your future, because the past cannot change. But God can bless you in spite of your past. That's what redemption is all about. That's what salvation is all about. God has the ability to erase my past and remember it against me no more. God's ability to give me a new start. And if I still got breath in my body, and I still got strength, and if God blesses me to wake up day in and day out, I still have another chance. Mary said, "Had you been there?" That's a reference to the past. You can't do anything about that. It just wouldn't have worked out that way had you been there. Had you been there when I needed you? If you had done it the way I wanted you to, I wouldn't be in this situation I'm in now. Again, that's a reference to the past. You can't. Sometimes you got to recognize this. The present situation in which you find yourself, God didn't put you there. That situation is what put you there. Yourself. You put yourself in that. But even when that happens, God is still able, with all the mess you've created, He still could use you in His kingdom. And He can bless your life. That your life be a blessing to others. You see, when I go through a situation and God brings me through to the other side, my job then is to become a guide or a mentor of some sort. That's what I need to be doing. You see, some of us go through situations and we never become guides or mentors to those around us. We let folk fall in the same trap we fell in and then talk about them afterwards. And we watch them fall into a trap. And you've got to understand how this works. You see, after I go through this situation, after I trip and stumble, after I get all beat up and all wounded, and God allows me to come through the situation, with all of the burdens I went through, my burdens become someone else's blessing. If we are doing what we're supposed to do as the children of God. When I see someone else going through a situation like I've been through, I become a mentor or a guide of some type, because I've been where they're going. And now I can tell them, you know, look out to the left, because you'll fall when you get over there. I can tell them, look out, come this way. You don't want to go that way. Come this way. Let me guide you through this. I've been that way, and you don't want to go there. I went through some trouble over there. I was wounded over there. I was hurt. I've fallen. And I don't want you to go through the same things. That's what we're supposed to do. You're going to go through some things, but I'm going to make sure you don't go through what I went through, because I'm going to be your mentor. I'm going to be your guide. Now step this way or step that way, or whatever advice we have to offer. I don't want you to fall where I fell. God knows I can help somebody to not fall where I fell, because in that situation, I become a mentor, if you will, a guide to help them get through. You see, we don't want to help anybody. Nobody's going to live a perfect life. But you can help folk to get where they need to be by becoming a guide of some sort. I'm glad God allowed me, in some cases, to make mistakes, because it blesses me in the long run to have more wisdom and to make better decisions. And some of you, no doubt, have been in situations where you say, "My God, I put myself in that situation." Whatever it may be, bad relationship, whatever it may be. But now, here's the thing. Even in my choices, if I follow God's plan, perhaps a bad decision still can turn out well. And if you turn back to God's prerequisites, so you have to understand, you can't change your past, but you've got a lot to say about where you're going. And there are those out there who will consistently remind you of your past, and that's the devil at work. Okay, let me close this thing. At verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, says to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks. For he had been dead 4 days." Martha says, "Lord, what are you doing? It's too late. He stinks. It's been 4 days. He's too far gone." He stinks. Maybe you're saying, "I've made too many mistakes for you to ever use me, Lord. I stink too. Maybe I'm decayed. There's nothing you can do with me, Lord. Why are you trying? Why are you moving that stone? It's been 4 days. I stink." Have you ever felt like you're too far gone? Have you ever felt like you are so decayed to the point of no return that you feel like you stink and that there's nothing you can do? At this stage of my life, I've been through so much, Lord. My heart is so filled with anger, hatred. I'm angry. And now I'm too far gone, and now I stink. My life is so messed up. Don't ask me to work in the church. Don't ask me to work in ministry, because my life is too messed up. I stink. I'm hopeless. But you see, Jesus can look at what you call hopeless and say, "In that thing, I still see benefit." What you might call dead, Christ wants to give life. That's why you have to be careful about listening to people. Because some folk will enhance your sorrows by telling others how dead you are in your situation. And sometimes some folk, well, some of the most negative folk in your life can be members of your family. And some of the most unchristian people, well, don't listen. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm going to tell you like it is. Some folk in your family can be some of the most negative people you'll ever meet. Be careful about the information you share. Listen, whatever information you share, be careful who you share it with, because some people only want to use it to make you feel worse or to make themselves feel or look better. Because we have too many folk who want to enhance how bad you stink. But look, Jesus said, move the stone. Move it. That stone represents any obstacles that's in your way. Get it out of the way. Whoever the person is, get them out of your way. If it's a bad relationship, get it out of your way. Move that stone. Get it out of your way. A lot of us have a stone we need to move. That's why we're still in graveyards like Lazarus, because nobody bothered to help us move the stone. We got to move these stones because people will put stones in your way. But Jesus said not only move the stones, but he said, Lazarus, come forth. I know you've been dead a long time, but I said, come forth. I know you've been sinning a long time, but Jesus says, come forth. I know some other things about you, but come forth. Your situation is not so far gone. I come by today to tell you Jesus is calling for folk to come forth. He may not have come when you wanted him, but Christ is right on time and he's never too late. He's never too late. And watch this. Now when Lazarus came forth, Jesus brings Lazarus forth, not so much for the benefit of Lazarus, but so that he himself would be glorified. But at the end of the day, the church isn't really about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. When God uses us and brings us forth, what God really wants to show folk is that he is the God in our life. What God really wants is to show himself in our lives. So what God is really trying to do is simply glorify himself. And he does that through us. If God can take a man who stank 4 days in his situation was far gone, certainly he can bring you out of your graveyard. If I can bring Lazarus from his graveyard, I can bring it for you. Sometimes I'm glad Jesus uses the worst of the worst, the Bible teaches, and it goes on and on. You could be bad, you could be messed up, and God still sees benefit. He still sees glory. He still sees the future. God still sees that you can be used no matter what your situation. And sometimes God will use the worst of the pow to show how glorified he is. And let me tell you why, real quick, why God uses messed up folk like me. I made a lot of mistakes, more mistakes than probably any person can make. And in most cases, God uses folk that are all messed up. When he chose his disciples, he didn't go to the higher echelon of folk. He decided, I'm going by the seaside and I'm going to pick up some nasty, stinking fishermen. Is that right? They don't know anything. They're ignorant and unlearned men. Jesus says, that's my man. Come on. Then Jesus does something else. He goes to a tax collector, Matthew, a publican, who was hated. Publicans were seen as worse than sinners in that day. You recall the thief on the cross the Bible talks about? He could very well have been a publican. The Bible refers to him as a malefactor. And by definition, a malefactor is a person who gained great wealth by stealing. And that's the way the Jews saw the publicans. Publicans worked for the government, and the government didn't like them, but they used these Jews to take money from other Jews, and the Jews didn't like them either because they were taking more money from them than the Roman government required. They were thieves. But Matthew is who he wanted. People hated him, but he pulled Matthew. He took Matthew. And then Jesus said, I'm going to get me a cursing Peter. He chose Peter. Yeah, Peter, you curse a lot. You're aggressive. You're unstable. You're impulsive. You're a coward. But come on, let's go. Then he chose Paul on his way to Damascus to kill some Christians. And then Jesus showed up and asked him, say, Paul, what are you doing? He said, I'm on the way to Damascus to kill some Christians. Who are you? I'm Jesus, the voice says, whom you persecute. Well, I'm on my way to Damascus to kill some Christians. Jesus said, no, you're not. Come on. Go with me. Do what I tell you to do. And sometimes it's difficult to understand God's logic. And then you got Judas, crazy man Judas. He was a thief. He was a hypocrite. He was a traitor. He was covetous. He loved money. And Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him. Yet he said, come on, Judas. Worst of the worst. Come on, Judas. You know why God does these things? You know why he does it like that? Because if God always picked men who had it all together, they would not know how to give him glory. They wouldn't. How can you give God glory if you're perfect? If you give God glory because you know he did something in you, that's why you give God glory. That wasn't really in you in the first place. God put it there. He had a place in you. He had to place in you what you could not place in yourself. You see, God wants to use men and women he knows will give him the glory because they know how insufficient they are. I would never, ever ordain a church leader that thinks he's got it all together. I wouldn't. A man who thinks he's perfect, because you've got to have a humble attitude about who you are in order to serve God. Otherwise, he can't use you. The best of us is no better than a common criminal. And that's why God would use men that stink. Abraham stunk. He was a liar. David stunk. He was a treacherous, murderous adulterer, a bad husband and a terrible father. But God, or the Bible, says that David was a man after God's own heart. And you can tell, you can be all of those things and still be a man after God's own heart. God does not ask you to stop doing what you're doing to come to him. He doesn't ask you that. He wants us to come to him in the midst of what we're doing so he can heal us and clean us up. That way we can't claim of our own power we've been delivered. I ask you this morning, commit your ways unto the Lord, Psalm 37:5. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Only God can erase your past. The message behind the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. That's our lesson this morning. I thank you for your time and your attention, and we would be remiss in our responsibility to the Lord if we did not extend to you the Savior's invitation. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you can become a member this morning. And if you are a member of the body of Christ and you find yourself a guilty distance from our Lord, God has prepared a way that we might regain his favor simply through admitting of a truth that you've sinned and you're determined to turn from that sin. That's called confession and repentance. If there is one of either nature, while together we stand and while we sing, may God help you come.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with me. His Father can make you what you want to be. His love can lift your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Plus, to have his way with me. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes like giving all? Would you have him save you so that you'd be never called? Let him have his way with me. His heart can make you what you want to be.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord Day and great lesson we learned this morning. We ask you to forgive us for our sin, for all our sin. I pray for the entire church who comes out to receive a word, that we come to it. Open our tongues, say amen. We pray that you strengthen us and bless us wherever you see it. We thank you for your word, which is true. It's a lamp to our feet, light to our path, to lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. Most of all, Father, we thank you for your dear loving Son, Jesus Christ, who died and shed his blood on the cross, so we are clean and alive. We pray for the ones that left the church, who went to the last world of darkness, that you realize a mistake and return the house of worship before it's too late. We pray that when we leave this building, be on our way home, none of us will be lost. We pray that you bring us back here together for another portion of your word until we meet again. In Christ, we pray. Amen.